It's time once again to step out, step up, and step into the Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with Coming Out Coach Rick Clemons. Rick's expertise in the coming out process has helped hundreds of men and women ignite their inner desires to powerfully step out of the closet and into the light of living authentically as gays and lesbians. Freeing you from the feelings of guilt or shame, Rick offers take action tips for basking in the glow of self-love, easy to implement tools for wrapping yourself up in the warm embrace of self-acceptance, and take it to the bank advice on how to step courageously into a powerful, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Each week, the Coming Out Lounge brings you heartwarming coming out stories, insights for living authentically as a gay or lesbian, and challenges you to step out of the ordinary and into your extraordinary life. Pull up a chair, cuddle up with the truth of who you've always been, and let's spend an hour in the Coming Out Lounge discovering how to energetically step out, step up, and step into living your truth. Here's the host of your show, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hello, Closet Busters. It's time once again to stop the closet dwelling and to step out, step up, and step into living your powerful truth. How about some high fives today for just being yourself? You know, I feel like it's one of those days where really getting creative about how we want to be ourselves is like the most important thing. And I'm not saying make up stories about who you are. I'm not suggesting that you like dive out and, you know, really tease people about, well, maybe I'm gay, maybe I'm not, maybe I'm bisexual. No, I want you to get creative about your own thoughts and thinking about what this really means for you to step out of the closet, to be out of the closet, to be your fully beautiful creative self. And actually, that's exactly why I'm bringing today's guest to the podcast. Her name is Cynthia Morris. Her and I met at Jonathan Fields' Good Life Project camp last summer. And so she's the second one from that camp that I brought onto the show in recent weeks. And the reason I really connected with her is, man, she loves creativity. She's like this creative genius. And she actually believes that everyone needs to just liberate themselves to really let their creative genius flow. And what I know is it really doesn't matter if you're gay, you're straight, you're a writer, an artist, an entrepreneur, and I know Cynthia's going to back me up on some of this. What you need to do is follow your original impulse, which is actually the name of Cynthia's company, Original Impulse. You can find it at originalimpulse.com. Because when you follow your original impulse, you turn your dreams into realities. Even if that exciting reality means saying, I'm gay, I'm lesbian, I'm bisexual, I'm transgender. When you follow those original impulses, you're most close to your true soul desire. So this is why I brought her into my world, why I'm sharing her with you. I believe there's a true connection between our sexual selves, our creative selves, and our soul. They all kind of like to play really nicely together in the sandboxes of our lives. So here's what's in store for you today. Besides working and hearing this beautiful woman, Cynthia, on the air with me today, we're going to unravel some beautiful connections between coming out and creativity, how you can use those creative juices to really help you as you go through the chaos of coming out. We're going to also identify how to use some creative endeavors to really ease some of that stress. And we're going to examine some interesting parallels that being an author or a writer, an artist, an entrepreneur, going and coming out as those kind of people, what those parallels are to the coming out journey. So you know what? I've talked enough at this point. I really want you to dive in with me, listen to this beautiful woman. She's the author of Chasing Sylvia Beach and Create Your Writer's Life. Welcome to the Coming Out Lounge, my friend Cynthia Morris. How are you doing, Cynthia?
Oh, great. Thanks so much for inviting me to be on your show. I'm really look forward to our conversation. You're such a dynamic person and you have so much passion for helping people be fully expressed in all ways that I love what you're doing and I'm thrilled to be part of it.
Wow. It sounds like you just introduced me, but I love that. I think that's why we actually kind of connected here is we really get this thing about being passionate about stuff and being alive about life. And so I already kind of told everybody, you know, we met at Jonathan's Good Life Project camp, but what really drew me to having you on the show was I think there's such a beautiful marriage between creativity and being authentically who you are. And I know in the pre-show when you and I were talking, we talked about this piece of what it takes to really step out and come out to being a creative. Sometimes that coming out process is really as daunting as someone who's coming out to say I'm gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. So My first question for you, Cynthia, is, you know, what was it like for you when you really came out and said, I'm a creative person, I'm a writer, I'm an author, I'm all these sort of things? What kind of things came up for you in that journey?
Well, that's a great question. I started writing in 1994, so 21 years ago. And I remember having all of these real and valid questions about, well, what does it mean to be a writer? What, when I say I'm a writer, what does that mean? And what does that mean to me? And what does that mean to the world? And I think that's an important thing to be considering when you're looking at that kind of, any kind of identity question. What does it mean to me? And what is the world making up about it? Because they're often two very different things. For instance, if I'm saying I'm a writer because I write every day, I publish my work, I put things out there, good enough for me, I'm a writer. That's what I do. The identity title is a function of what I'm doing. So that's one way to define yourself as a writer or an artist. However, the world seems to like to define writer or artist based on a commercial aspect. So if you go, you're at a cocktail party or in a social setting and you say, I'm a writer, they say, great, what do you write? And, well, I write this. What have you published is what they will say. Where can I find your book? And if you're like, well, I'm actually just starting out. I've been writing for a couple of years, just building my muscles. For some reason, you're invalidated in that person's eyes. And so that, I think, is one of the biggest problems about coming out as a writer or an artist is that commercial component. In the world's eyes, in some people's eyes, if you're not a commercial venture or selling your work, you're not valid, as you can't claim those titles. So I've noticed, so I finally started, I wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote and started publishing and then wrote some books and ebooks, and I've been publishing my newsletter for 14 years. So I feel pretty confident saying I'm a writer. I'm good. I'm good to go with that title. But along the way, I also started coming out, emerging as a visual artist, doing drawings and watercolor paintings and illustrations. And I started doing that very more focused in around 2003. So that's, what is that, 12 years now.
Right.
And I noticed it took me a long time until I think 2013. So 10 years. Filling notebooks, even selling some of my work before I was able to claim being an artist. And I coach writers and creative people. And so when they would say, oh, I can't call myself a writer, I'm like, oh, get over yourself. Come on, just call yourself a writer. What's the deal? Then I got back into the beginner seat as an artist. And I remembered, oh, here's the deal. So for me, I noticed if I said I'm an artist, if I claimed I'm an artist and I was showing somebody my journal, what I made up inside was that my art better be good.
Yeah.
And I was just enjoying making art because it was fun and playful, and it didn't have to be good. And the minute I claimed the title, boy, I better be good, because I wouldn't want to show somebody my journal and my drawings and have them say, well, don't quit your day job. So those are some of the major factors that I have experienced both with myself and with people I work with around just claiming the title, coming out and stating, I'm a writer, I'm an artist.
And what I love about what you just shared is this, what it means to me versus what it means to the world. This is like a huge piece of the coming out journey for individuals who are stepping into that beautiful, powerful place of saying, this is me, this is my sexual orientation. We can get pretty clear, and the work I do with people coming through those doors is, let's get you really clear on what it means to you. In fact, I'm so glad you said it, because that's actually where I start with them. My first question to anyone who's coming out is, so tell me why you know you're gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. Tell me why. And I always kind of get the deer in the headlights look, even if I'm only working with them on the phone, because I hear the pregnant pause. I'm like, okay, I just landed a really big question that they hadn't really, truly thought about. And then get them to that place where it's really beautiful is in preparation for, now guess what's going to happen? The minute you say, in many circles, oh, I'm gay, I'm lesbian, I'm bisexual, I'm transgender, the world view of that is completely different than how you see it. And you just brought this forward, and I love it. So
The tricky thing for all of these identities, every single identity, is Well, especially what you mentioned in the intro about really claiming our authenticity and claiming our full expression is the place we're hoping to get to is where we don't give a hoot what anybody else thinks about us. Because what anybody thinks about us is none of our business. We're just here to be as fully expressed as we possibly can. But we're tribal. We right. need each other. We need safety. We need to be around people who accept us. So that's the constant edge that I think creative people and people in your audience are working with, of like, how do I be fully me and whatever you think of me is your own business and be connected? And I think that's why your work and your podcast are so valuable. You're creating a tribe for people who have a non-heterosexual orientation and need to be reflected and seen and in a new tribe.
Well, and I think the tribe is very similar when we look at the creatives versus those of us that are coming out. And of course, as in any culture, any walk of life, there's going to be creatives who are gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender, as there are going to be those that are heterosexual. There's also going to be those that aren't creative to their bone. But what I think is so powerful about this is when we allow ourselves to realize everything we do is a creative endeavor. And I mean literally everything we do. Waking up in the morning is a creative endeavor. It's a place of, what can I create today? The moment that we take a breath, it's a creative endeavor. And I think this is the power we often lose. So along those lines, one of the things I've found is in my world, people say, I can't do this. My gut feeling says, you have heard that probably more than you can count about artists and authors and all those types too, saying, I just can't do this. You want to share some of that insight around that kind of talk that you hear from people?
Around, I can't do this?
Yeah, I can't be an artist. I can't be a painter. I want to, but I just can't. I feel like there's something holding me back. I would assume some of the stuff that you come up against is about people saying, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I'm brave enough to step out and say, I'm an artist, I'm a writer, I'm a creative. Have you ever come up against that?
Oh, yeah, all the time, and myself included. I experienced this just as a story with myself just 2 days ago when I was looking. I did a strengths test and I saw my strengths, and one of my coach friends asked a great question. So how do you recognize them? How do you leverage them? And I looked at my top strengths and I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm using those. And then the question, how do I leverage them? Another way to say that, how do I fully express those and take them even more expressed? I realized I know exactly how to do that, and it's the thing that scares me the most. Mm-hmm. So I think the I can't often comes in alongside the thing that we know is our most authentic expression. And I think that's so ironic and kind of sad and awful that's the case. But that's the work of the spiritual work of polishing ourselves, polishing our vitality, polishing our belief systems, clearing out those old patterns of I can't, and opening ourselves up to be that expression of what it is we're here to express or create.
So I love that term of polishing ourselves, because that is what I guide clients through. It's like, okay, we're going to brush you up. We're going to get rid of all the beliefs that don't work. We're going to scrub off all those things that say, oh, because you're gay or lesbian or whatever, you can't be good enough for this, because that's where the polishing begins. It's part of, you know, we can call it changing a limiting belief or getting rid of the bad mojo or whatever it is, but it really comes from that place of starting to polishing ourselves up. And I love the correlation you made to our greatest strength, and then it's the thing that we fear the most. When I work with someone who's coming out and they have, you know, inevitably the question is, okay, well, how do I tell people? I'm like, well, I don't know. How do you have big, deep conversations with those people right now? Because that's the beauty. We don't have to go reinvent the wheel. We just have the conversation we've always had with them around, maybe I flunked a test, or I wrecked the car, or I'd like to get married. Whatever these big conversations are that we have as human beings, for some reason, when it's the really big stuff, we think we have to go reinvent this wheel and we have to do something different. Now, that's counterintuitive to being creative. I'm not saying don't be creative in how you tell somebody, but be real, be authentic, be genuine, because that's where you're going to find your greatest strength to move through this. And so when you said that, I'm like, oh, this is really directly in alignment with how I talk to people about coming out to other people. So in this world where you are working with creatives and artists, I'm sure sometimes it can become really chaotic and stressful for them because they think, oh my gosh, I'm never going to get published, or I'm never going to get a show, or I'm never going to have my art hanging in a beautiful gallery. I'm just thinking that one of the best things that you may send them off to go do is go play in their creativeness. But I'm curious, when they're under stress, what is something you would suggest somebody who's really under stress do as a kind of a creative thing to move them through this stress? And I know we're going to get to your ritual blessings. I want to get to that next. But what is something creative somebody can do to really start to relieve stress?
Well, two things. I mean, the first thing is the biggest problem that I encounter with every client or student is they, and we, I do this too. When I talk about anybody else, I'm in it too. We're all the same.
We're all the same.
So I'm not sitting here like, well, those people haven't figured it out. We all are figuring it out daily. But what I notice that we do is we create really unrealistic expectations for ourselves, and usually around time and commitment, like how much we can take on in any given period of time. And that's when you talk about stress, that's right, the number one thing that stresses us out is too much to do, not enough time. And then what we do is we beat ourselves up about it. Like we somehow think we've failed to execute or achieve when really we've just been bad planners.
Right.
And so I start there with trying to have my clients not have high expectations. Like they say, I'm going to write for 3 hours. I'm like, how about 30 minutes or 15 minutes and build? So that's the first thing to release stress is start with some expectations that are really aligned with all of the other commitments that we have going on at any given moment. When you were saying, how do they get more creative or feel more fresh? The first thing, and it sounds, it's just like so simple and stupid, is just get some space. And I call it, get some air in your hair. Just step away from the computer. Go into the kitchen and get a pitcher of water or make a snack or go for a walk. Go lie down. That's what I do. I lie down. Maybe I'll lie down in a restorative yoga pose or just something that stills the body away from any external stimulus. That is a real, real problem right now in our lives, is we are constantly consuming. Even when we're in the car at a stoplight, we're checking our phone.
Yeah.
There's no place for the mental, the emotional, the physical, the spiritual body to just rest.
Right.
And so that's always like just, anybody can do that at any time. Just close your eyes for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about meditating. I'm just talking about step away from being a consumer. I could go on. There are lots of things I could talk about in that, but I want to pause and make sure that.
No, this is beautiful because you just brought, I love the air in your hair. That's going to be a tweetable right there. I want everybody to go get some air in their hair as they come out of the closet. I mean, that's a beautiful one, but it is so true. You know, it's about taking that breath, taking that time to be still, because whether you're coming out as, okay, I'm going to come out and I'm going to tell all my family that I'm going to be an art major and I want to art and I want to create art or I want to be a writer, you know, all those things that kind of have that interesting, well, that's nice, but how the frick are you going to make money? You know, it's that stigma that starts to show up around those kind of careers. It's the same concept with somebody who's coming out of the closet. It's like, okay, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to say it. And then suddenly they haven't taken any breaths. They haven't given themselves the stillness, the slowing down moment to go just be with themselves. And I know you've got something you want to bring in on this. So go ahead.
Yeah, because I just want to clarify, the space does not necessarily have to be stillness. And I know there are a lot of kinesthetic people who will be like, shut up. I'm not going to go sit down and be still. Like I've been told that my whole life and that doesn't work for me.
No.
So space to me could include, I like will put on a song and dance or go for a walk. Or so depending on what your body needs at any given time and what your preferences are for clearing some space in your mental and emotional. It could be walking, it could be sitting, it could be lying down. Mm-hmm. So that's just one thing I wanted to clarify.
Absolutely. I think it's different for everybody. One of the things I say to a client is, okay, when I know they're really stressing, I can feel the stress, you know, they're getting closer. I'm actually in the midst of coaching someone that I know she's getting ready to pull the trigger in the next week or so. I just feel it. I'm usually get that intuition that, okay, a client's going. And I'll say, so tell me what makes you laugh. Tell me what makes you smile. Mm. Tell me what makes you giddy like a kid. You know, tell me what makes you want to just go run around with your clothes off. You know, whatever I can find. And by then I kind of know them pretty well. So I can kind of get a sense of what they're doing. But in her case, I'm like, so what really gets you going as far as sports? Because I know she loves sports. And she said, oh, I love watching basketball. I said, well, guess what? When you get all up in your head, I want you to go find a basketball game to watch. I want you to just go lose yourself. And I said, even if it's something that's on ESPN, it's a taping or whatever, go do something that just takes you into that world and takes you away from what you're doing. That can be the stillness. And I am so glad you brought that up, because it can be whatever fits for you.
Well, so I think those are two different things. It's just like getting away from internal or from external input is one thing, and just clearing your head. Your suggestion about watching a game or something would be the second thing I would suggest. It's like whatever is playful. Mm-hmm. What you just described there is your clients just kind of tapping into that playfulness of what they love. And that's always like, what do you love? Oh, I love watching dogs. Like, I personally love dogs. I love watching dogs. I go to the park at dog happy hour and lie on my yoga mat and watch the dogs frolic, and boy, I'm happy.
Oh, wow.
So that doesn't have to cost any money. It doesn't have to be any big deal. It's just even 10 minutes of that. So for people to find what feels playful for them, small or large, a big vacation or dog watching, that goes a long way.
It does go a long way. And I will share with everybody one of my stillness practices, escape practices, whatever we want to call it here, is there are times throughout the day that, and I have a big monitor, big, huge monitor on my desk, and then my laptop right in front of it. There are times in the day where I will hit the sleep button just for 2 or 3 minutes. I just stay right here, but I hit the sleep button on my computer and just watch it go blank. And when it goes blank, my eyes shut, and I'm not going to meditate. I'm not going. That's a whole different practice that I practice in the morning, the evenings, but I give myself this moment to go, I'm going to put the computer to sleep and I'm going to put my thoughts to sleep just for a few moments.
And then how does it feel afterward?
Oh, it's amazing. You know, sometimes it'll be, I will come out of it and go, okay, I need to get back to work. Other times it's like, okay, now that I had that break, ooh, let's go in the kitchen. Let's go outside. Let's go sit. We have a beautiful pool in our backyard. And I may just go sit by the pool and just be in the sun. Nothing else. It doesn't mean I'm going to go for that deep swim. It's like it sometimes can be the igniting fire that gets me to go take a little more time and to step truly away from the next thing that's got to get done, recording another podcast or writing another article or working with a client. And
yes,
it's so beautiful.
Yes. And that is, you just hit on something that is so important, why that space is important. Our next step becomes apparent. But whereas if we're pecking away on screen and checking all of our stuff, we get lost and confused. And what do I do next? And when you step away and just get that space and that air, the next right step always shows up.
Absolutely.
From that. And that's part of that practice of knowing your authentic expression, knowing how you authentically move through any given moment or any given conversation. That practice you described, just the 2 minutes. I mean, that's so simple. 2 minutes just to connect in. I love that, Rick.
You know, last night I happened to be watching, I'm about 10 weeks behind on Super Soul Sunday, but I was actually watching it, and I don't remember the gentleman's name, but he talked exactly about what we're talking about here, about this just releasing and just being for the moment, in the moment. And I remember Oprah just sitting there and going, but this is what it's all about. When we can just really begin to release It doesn't have to be for any huge amount of time. If for even, you know, for people who are just getting started, especially as you're coming through the closet doors and there's so much chaos and so much stress, you may feel like, I can't release. This is like the top of my priority list of thoughts. Well, then only try to release maybe for 15 seconds and then build it up to 30 and then build it up to maybe a minute. We can train our beautiful minds to step into this stuff. And I think when you can do that, and you said something really powerful, Cynthia, just a minute ago about authentic expression. When you can realize this coming out journey, it's really about you stepping into your calling to authentically express yourself. Whether you're creative or otherwise, yeah, this is what it's all about.
Yeah, and I like how you linked other people's expectations about what you're an artist or what you're gay. The thing I think that makes those conversations difficult is it's built on the other person's expectation of who they think we are or should be. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm a writer, I'm an artist, I've always been that. You just haven't seen me that way. Right. And that's when, again, like being able to say, this is my truth and I'm gay and you know, or I'm an artist, like you, has nothing to do with the way you think I'm supposed to be. So yeah, I think it's a lot of expectation management and being brave enough to just claim ourselves.
Absolutely. It is about being able to claim yourself and realizing, I'm glad you brought this piece up about, you know, other people's expectations, because one of my favorite statements that I make every one of my clients, whether they're coming out of the closet or otherwise, I make them write this one down and have it close to them, is I'm no longer responsible for making you feel comfortable with me.
Mm. Well, what a relief. Woo!
It's huge.
That's a lot of weight off of our shoulders.
Right. And when you can release that, it's really beautiful. It's a true blessing. And speaking of blessings, I want you to talk to us about your ritual blessings, because I've looked at them. I've seen them on your website. I love what these are all about. I think there's actually some ritual blessings that could really fit with this whole coming out journey. So describe for our listeners what your ritual blessings are all about and give them an insight to it.
Yeah, sure. I just put these out in the world recently, and the ritual is spelled with a W at the beginning. So it looks like write. I would put the word writing and ritual together to create a word ritual. And I created these a long time ago. I teach a class online called the Free Write Fling. And the class is designed to help people get a writing practice under their belt. So we write every day for a month together for 15 minutes. And I give a prompt and then a picture prompt to go with the word prompt. And then a ritual blessing. And the blessings are things like, let me get them out so I can think of some good ones. You're allowed to feel great about your talents is one of my favorites. Writing heals you. It's easier to write than you think. Writing is an act of love. So they're just, I think of them in a couple of ways. They're like permission slips. They're affirmations. They're an encouraging phrase that's short and simple. And I've noticed over the years in my classroom how soothed my students are by these blessings. And when they write from them, they tap deep into their truth. And writing heals you. So someone who writes from that, like, wow, the power of my words and my own writing practice to reveal myself to me and reveal the old stories and help me shed them. So the more I saw people really adopting the ritual blessings in the classroom, it coincided with my own art and my own illustration getting more and more time and being more developed. And so last fall, I had the idea to make a deck of cards that paired an illustration with a blessing. So over November and December and January, I worked on them and I made these original paintings of them and then had them made into a deck of cards. So what the Ritual Blessings deck is, it's 36 affirmations illustrated cards. The total deck is 40 cards. It's about the size of a tarot deck and or like the size of an iPhone 4.
Sure.
It's about the size. They're just, I consider them little love emissaries, sharing my encouragement, my enthusiasm, my what I do is in my classes and in my coaching, I create a safe and sacred place for people to discover who they are and how they want to express themselves, usually in writing or in art or in business. And so these cards are a way to have a piece of me, absolutely, a way to have a bit of my enthusiasm and encouragement in your writing zone, in your life.
That's very cool. And as you were speaking, you know, a couple of things came up for me. First of all, I'm like, ooh, maybe Cindy and I need to talk about collaborating and have her create a deck of these cards that really are around the coming out process, because so much of what I send people off to do is to go write about what they're feeling. And some people are like, oh, I'm not a writer. I'm like, it's okay. You don't have to be a writer. You just have to be willing to, you know, express yourself. So if you don't want to write, then go cut out pictures that represent how you're feeling. If you don't want to do that, then, you know, go take some photographs of how you're feeling. If you don't do that, go bring, if you're a music person, then find several music tracks that really express how you're feeling in your coming out journey right now. When I throw this creative piece at most people, they really just begin to shift and soar because they're having that beautiful outlet. So the free write fling I love because it really aligns with something that I send my people off to do. But then there was one of the lessons you spoke about or the prompts that really struck me. It was writing is an act of love.
Mm.
And I always say coming out is an act of love.
Mm.
Because it's an act of love towards ourselves. And even if it's an, you know, you're married like I was and you come out to your spouse, there's an act of love in there that I love you enough that I don't want you trying to be in this relationship with someone who fully can't be there with you any longer. And it's really, really powerful stuff when you get there. So, wow, I can't believe the beautiful stuff that we've been talking about. I didn't get to 90% of the questions because I don't often get to have such a beautiful conversation about the real stuff. And I love the authenticity you bring into this world for creatives. And I know that this is really going to be something that some people are going to walk away with going, maybe I need to put a little more creativity into my coming out process. So
let me just add something in there to what, because what you said, I love all of the ways you offer your clients ways to express how they feel. The collage, the writing, the photography, all the music, all of that. The reason I think that's so potent is because our creativity, whether it's something that we're consuming, music or art, or putting out on the page, and it doesn't have to be art or perfect, just expressing, it allows us to be mirrored back to ourselves. It helps get all of those emotions and thoughts out so we can see them and be reflected back. And when we're reflected back, either through a song we love or a song we've written, that is power. That gives us power to know ourselves, to see ourselves, and to be able to say, okay, here's how I feel. What's important to me. And so I love that you have creativity and creative expression as part of your process with your clients. It's brilliant.
Well, the reason I brought that in, Cynthia, is because coming out is expressing yourself. I mean, let's go back to the Madonna song, you know, Express Yourself. And, you know, Lady Gaga, Born This Way, it's about expressing who you are. So if you're going to go make this big, bold statement by expressing who you are, if you're not someone who's used to doing that, then we got to start somewhere with learning how to express yourself. And for a lot of people, they are very closed in. And I would say closeted, but they're more closed in. And to be able to go express themselves and say, this is who I am, there's a whole lot of runway we have to go down before they're ever going to be able to say, I'm gay. Because they've never even expressed themselves. But
That's
what
huge.
I love to do with them is to find the way that they get to express themselves in a way that makes them feel comfortable. So that when it comes time to express their sexuality, we're not stepping too far outside the boundaries that they're normally used to being in. The only thing we're doing is helping them get to a place where they feel safe, supported, and loved.
Wow, that's great. Makes total sense.
Pretty much what I hear you do with your clients too, is you provide the space for them to feel supported, loved, and to express themselves. So
absolutely.
Isn't it amazing how we do similar work with different people. But at the end of the day, it's all about coming from a place of, we just want what's best for the people we're working with and to help them really come out and be who they're meant to be as fully expressed human beings.
Yes, we're doing the same work, but with different people and a different problem that we're solving.
Absolutely, but absolutely.
The core of self acceptance and expression is the same, and I think that's what so much of the world is shifting to now. Like, much more people feeling self acceptance and expression, and I'm all for that.
Absolutely. So if you want to catch up with Cynthia and you want to get more information about the ritual blessings and stuff, go to her website, which is originalimpulse.com. Again, that is originalimpulse.com. That's where you can find her. And there's also Ritual Blessings, which is WRITUAL blessings.ink. So make sure you hear what I just said. It's .ink, not .com. And that will be
ink.
Where you can find her. So it is ink because it's beautiful cards painted with beautiful stuff. So Cynthia, I want to say thank you for being here today and being part of my world and sharing your beautiful gifts with people that I know they will find some piece of creativity to say, wow, I never thought about my coming out process being a creative endeavor. But at the end of the day, it's about all of us creatively expressing ourselves. So thank you so much for being here with me today, Cynthia. I love you. I can't wait to see you again very soon. And for just being part of my world.
Great. Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
So if you feel that creative urge and you feel that desire to find that pathway to artistically and beautifully, whether it's through written word or the form of art in some way to express yourself and really step into who you are, and you really enjoyed the stuff we brought forward and helping you find a pathway to that, we would both really love it if you'd hop on over to iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud and give us some love about the Coming Out Lounge today. It's not something that I require, but I love to see what people are really getting out of these conversations we have with beautiful people like Cynthia. And of course, as always, you know, the Coming Out Coach page over on Facebook is a great way to connect with me and my family there. And of course, the tweet stuff is at Rick Clemons. That's our Twitter handle. And that's Rick, C-L-E-M-O-N-S. And the hashtag for the show is #. Coming Out Lounge. So with that, I think we've done enough creative stuff. We've been pretty artistic. We've shown you some pathways to some beautiful stuff today. So I'm going to just say it's time to go and let you go out there and never stop stepping out, stepping up, and stepping into living your beautiful, powerful, artistic, creative truth as a gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, but more importantly, living your truth as a beautiful human being.
Thank you for joining us today with the Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clemons. Make sure you tune in with us next week, same time, same place, for the Coming Out Lounge.